Bring you none of the hot take BS. We bring you best. We bring you sports.
I don't care about bragging rights.
It just introduces more volatility into the equation.
I don't care about victory laps.
Stop it. Please stop it. Throw the football into the floor.
The BetQL Network presents your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper, Ken Barkley.
If I have an opinion, I'm just going to go put money on that thing happening.
And your host, Nick Kostos.
Every single play of every single game impacts you in some way, shape, or form.
It's You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM.
The phenomenal Football Friday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, Ken Barkley, and you here with us on the BetQL Network. Our guy Brian Baldinger will join us at some point during the show today on this phenomenal Football Friday to break down round one of the 2024 NFL Draft. We're going to start giving you all our bets for tonight. 20 minutes from now with the Bucks and the Pacers. That game tips off in about 40 minutes, so bets for Milwaukee and Indiana 20 minutes from now. And in the power hour, the final hour of the show, we will roll through not just tonight's slate in Major League Baseball and the NBA and NHL playoffs, but all the playoff games this weekend as well. Very much look forward to that. We will also get to offensive and defensive rookie of the year in the NFL. I really just want to fire off my take on defensive rookie of the year. We could spend a couple minutes talking offensive rookie as well. But we will kick off this hour by recapping what we saw last night in the NFL draft with a guy I'm sure is pretty happy right now, being from the Chicago area after the Bears absolutely cleaned up on Thursday night. And that is former Bears head coach, the great Dave Wannstedt. 670 The Score in Chicago, Big Ten Network, and NBC Sports Chicago on Twitter, at Coach Wannstedt. Coach, welcome back to You Better You Bet. It's your pals Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley. How's it going?
It's going good, Nick. Yes, you and Ken. Hey, Nick, let me tell you, what are you betting on? Having a little boy or a little girl? Where's the money?
I appreciate that. Well, I have the answer to the question. I'm having a
girl. The results are
so
in.
If anyone wants to like post that betting market, I would like to bet a significant amount of money into it on girl.
Oh, congratulations. I was talking with our good friend Mitch Rosen last night up at the Score, getting ready to do a draft special, and I told him I was coming on with you guys, and we got talking about you, so congratulations. I'm sure everything will be great.
I appreciate that very much, Coach.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
There you go. And Coach, this might be like the last time you talk to Nick. We're getting down to it here a little bit, too. This might be the last time you talk to Nick before he comes out the other side. He's a new man, a different guy. So be interesting to see how that goes. Want to ask you about the Bears, obviously, first. And, you know, like Nick mentioned it when he brought you on, like probably pretty excited right now. Caleb, Adunze, people are saying playoffs, the win total is 8.5. So even the betting market coach says, man, Bears going to go like over 500 this year. There's just a lot of optimism and a lot of reason to be excited about this year. How are you feeling about how the Bears did last night and what you think they'll do this season?
Well, I'm all in with everything that's happened so far. Yes, you know, it's a very unique situation because generally, like when we were at Dallas and we drafted Troy Aikman, he had no help. We had no supporting cast. I think he got sacked 9 times in his first game. And it was a tough first couple of years for Troy, which is usually the standard. If you got the first pick in the draft, generally you're the worst team in the league. You got no players. You can't win. It's kind of a restart. But this is so different here in Chicago because, you know, they got a top 10 defense. They've been first or second in the league in running the football the last couple of years. They made some nice trades. I mean, you know, Montez Sweat and Keenan Allen. And I mean, they've added some really good players on both sides of the ball. All they needed really was a quarterback to come in and, I don't want to say manage the game, but give them a chance in the fourth quarter to be able to win a game if they're behind or if they're tied. And I think that's happened with Caleb Williams. I know that Chicago's fired up. I'll tell you the best thing that's happened is about a week ago is when it really kind of came to light that, hey, he's going to be a Bear. You know, I mean, the Chicago Bears, Ryan Poles, he didn't admit it publicly, but he insinuated. And all of a sudden, Caleb started talking about Chicago, the great city. He was doing a bunch of interviews, and he really grew on – he was saying the right things, you know, and he grew on the people here in Chicago. So, I mean, that time before the draft really, I think, was important to him leading up to when he became the first pick as far as people getting to know him.
So honeymoon period, I think it's fair to say right now, with Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, and the Chicago Bears, the games are going to start in September, and the win total, Coach, for the Chicago Bears as it stands right now is 8.5. And I will use that as an opportunity to ask you this question, and this can be a pencil, not pen answer. We'll see what happens with the rest of the draft and the offseason. Will the Chicago Bears finish above or below 500 this season in a really, really tough division?
No, they'll be above 500. I believe they're going to be a playoff team. I really do. Because the other teams in our division are tough. They're very similar. I mean, Minnesota's going to be playing with J.J. McCarthy, a rookie. You know, Jordan Love is just really working into his second season as a starter. Overall in the division, Detroit is the team to beat, obviously. But I really think that the Bears are in a position. They got the last place schedule. You know, I don't know if that means anything or not. It generally helps a little bit. I believe that they will win more than 500. I'm going to take it a step farther. I think they're going to be a playoff team this year.
And the Bears playoff odds basically like -110 each way. So kind of like same implied probability that they're going to make the playoffs or miss the playoffs. Obviously much different than the last couple of years. So Coach Caleb Williams and the Bears and this optimism, that was definitely one storyline from the draft last night. Another one, we talked about this already on the show. I was shocked. I mean, just like really like mouth open, just like couldn't believe it. When the Atlanta Falcons took Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick, like you've been around the league a really long time. Like you've seen a lot of drafts. You've been around the draft for a really long time. What was your level of surprise when that pick came in? And do you agree with Atlanta's choice to go with a quarterback there at number 8?
No, I do not agree with it. I was shocked is like everybody else. I mean, from the standpoint that, you know, why did you spend that money on Kirk Cousins? And I know he's got just 2 years guaranteed, you know, but Michael Penix is going to be 24 years old. He's had double knee surgeries. That was a little bit of a concern to people, his age and the injuries, even though I think he's a great player and he's a first-round player. But I was shocked. I was expecting Atlanta to trade out of that pick because I was looking at my value chart and I was saying for Denver, who needed a quarterback, for Minnesota and the Raiders, if they wanted to move up there to number 8 in Atlanta spot, it was going to cost them a third. So I said, you know, somebody's going to do that right now. There's someone's going to pull the plug and they're going to make a trade. And because that's what I was thinking the Bears should have done if Odunze wasn't there. That was the only guy that I think they were focused on that had a value of being worthy of being taken in the 9th pick. I mean, you know, you got to be ready to take somebody. I get that. But if they could have traded out, if he wasn't there, I think they would have. And they would have picked up a third-round pick from one of those three teams to move back a few spots and probably still get a quality starting player. So to answer your question, I was shocked that they took him. I didn't agree with it. I really thought that they would trade down and take a pass rusher.
You bet here with Nick and Ken on a Friday. Coach Dave Wanstead with us here, breaking down the NFL draft on Twitter, at Coach Wanstead. Coach, what do you make of the Denver Broncos selecting Bo Nix to run Sean Payton's offense and how that's going to look this season?
I'm a big Bo Nix fan. Number one, the guy, he's a mature, smart football player. I mean, you know, this guy started 61 games during his college career, obviously at Auburn and here. The ball comes out. He makes about as quick a decisions, and the ball comes out as fast as any quarterback in this draft, probably number one in that category. And maybe he's not throwing the ball down the field as much as you'd like, but the ball's coming out, and he's got a good – he's accurate. And when you think of Drew Brees, that's what Drew Brees was. He'd take his shots down the field – but Drew would get quick decisions. The ball came out. Drew, in his early years, was a better athlete than people gave him credit for. It's the same thing with Bo Nix. So I think this is a perfect fit for Sean Payton in Denver. I really do. I'm a big fan of that.
Coach, I want to ask you about J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota also. I think Penix and Nix were maybe more surprising first round picks, or at least like early first round picks, that they were both gone by 12. I think everybody kind of thought J.J. McCarthy would be a first round pick. Just would somebody trade up for him? How many teams were interested? And this back and forth about stats versus winning and the system that you play in. So curious kind of how you see him fitting. And obviously, you're a Chicago guy. We talked about Caleb and the Bears. The Bears are going to, Caleb's going to see J.J. McCarthy probably twice this year. And maybe who wins those games determines who wins the division, goes to the playoffs. What about J.J. McCarthy with Kevin O'Connell and the Minnesota Vikings?
They look at the supporting cast. I don't know if their defense is as good as the Bears, but there's still guys with Jefferson, Hawkinson, and oh God, the kid, he was at Pitt and went to USC, Addison.
Jordan
I mean,
Addison, yep.
Think about the skill that he's going to have to work with right off the bat. He's going to be plenty smart enough. He was coached by Jim Harbaugh, who's an NFL mentality coach. And let me say this. I think the thing that got Justin Fields and really the determining factor in quarterbacks, this is my opinion, your team's down by 10 with 6 minutes to go in the game. Do you have a quarterback when they know you're going to throw, you have to throw, do you have a quarterback that can lead your team down the field twice and score twice and win the game? Against Alabama, in the run for the national championship, that's where J.J. McCarthy was. He was behind a touchdown. He takes him down and scores, takes it to overtime against Alabama, gets the football again, and takes it down and puts it in the end zone. Just because they didn't throw it as much, and I think the receiver at Michigan, Roman, oh God, what's his name? Roman, I think maybe
Roman
his last
Wilson.
name. Roman Wilson. He is a better player than what he had a great Senior Bowl, but he didn't get that many opportunities because they were a defense heavy run football team. J.J. McCarthy is going to be just fine, guys. Trust me. He's got that. He is committed, and he will not be one of those quarterbacks. He will keep the main thing the main thing. That's just his mindset.
Can Daniel Jones be one of those quarterbacks moving forward for the New York Football Giants with Malik Nabers now as a receiver? We haven't seen it in the past. Any confidence that Jones can be someone he hasn't been previously this year for the Giants? Maybe in about a minute, Coach, so we can ask you about Jaden Daniels.
I don't know. I was really excited, like you guys were. I know you're.
You
Giants
can say
people,
no if you want to, Coach. You can say no.
Yeah,
I say no. It's okay.
Unless he has a dominant running game, that's his best chance of being successful. If they're going to not get into a heavy run, play action pass, movement passes, then I think that he's boxed in, and I don't see it working out.
So
Coach,
no.
In about a minute.
Fair.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, Nick, not a fan either, to be fair. Coach, I want to ask you about Jaden Daniels in Washington here in about a minute. Maybe just the fit of quarterback to Dan Quinn, coach. New regime, obviously, there. How much optimism that this is going to work with Quinn and Jaden Daniels here in about a minute?
Yeah, I like him as the second best quarterback. So you got the best, second best player. And the thing that I do like about him, Cliff Kingsbury is the offensive coordinator at Washington. He was the guy, everywhere he's been, he's had a quarterback that could move. Not necessarily a runner, even though Daniels can do it. But, the Baker Mayfields when he was at Oklahoma, obviously Tyler in Arizona, he drafted, help me out here, the quarterback that's out there now. They got to get, he's had athletic quarterbacks everywhere he's been. And
Kyler
I
Murray?
Think this will be no Kyler Murray. And he's got some Kyler Murray in it from the standpoint that he's athletic. Daniels can run. He can throw. So I think the blueprint for what Cliff Kingsbury really wants in a quarterback, the Kyler Murray mentality, I think it's a perfect fit for what he wants to do from a philosophy standpoint.
Coach, we appreciate the time. The breakdown is always awesome and appreciate the well wishes on this could happen any day for me. Kind
oh,
of,
man.
Kind
yeah,
of has,
we're on the
kind of
clock.
has
Da, da,
been,
da, da, da.
Yes. Kind of has me in a state of existential dread every waking hour, and the ones when I'm asleep also. Coach, we love having you. We really appreciate it. 670 the score in Chicago, the Big Ten Network, NBC Sports Chicago on Twitter at Coach Wanstead. Stay well. Enjoy the rest of the NFL draft. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. See you next week, Kenny. Bye-bye.
Coach Wanstead joining us here on You Better You Bet. Giants are going to suck this year. Like they really just are.
He tried to let you down a little easy there with that answer.
You didn't have to.
I think we could all read the tone. I think we could all hear what was going on. It just like, again, like there, it's not like the market thinks they're going to be good. The win total 6.5. The market thinks they're going to be bad. It's just like, is it ever anything different than that? That's the problem. And with every other team, you can make some upside ceiling half-brained argument. And you get to the Giants and you go like, nah, man, it's just 6.5. Like, that's just what it is. It's like, sorry. That's so depressing. So, I'm sorry. You have Malik Nabers, because that's cool.
Yes, you know what? I'll watch my Super Bowl 42 and then, you know, the 45 DVD, 46 DVD, and everything will be okay. All right, Bucks Pacers bets coming up next, and more National Football League breakdown.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
Siakam posted up for this. Great matchup here. Buffett grinding off the window with an angle. Counted on the foul.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
All right, NBA TV courtesy of the call. Pascal Siakam. I don't think I said this on the show the other day. The first player since Wilt Chamberlain, this is true, the first player since Wilt Chamberlain in 1967 to start an NBA playoffs with back-to-back games of at least 35 points and at least 10 rebounds. So good. Pascal Siakam's been the first two couple of games for the Indiana Pacers. Indiana only won one of those two games, so series tied at one. Tip-off coming 20 minutes here in Indiana against the Milwaukee Bucks. So we'll give all our bets for tonight in the Power Hour and also all our bets for the playoff games this weekend in the Power Hour, but we can't give a bet for Bucks-Pacers in the Power Hour because it's starting in 20 minutes. Chris Middleton is warming up, and I think all expectations are that Middleton's going to play in the game. We sit right now, Ken, Indiana, a 6.5-point home favorite. This is the Bucks' biggest they've been an underdog in the postseason since 2017 against the Toronto Raptors. So it's been like almost a decade that Milwaukee's been this big of a playoff underdog in a playoff game.
Game one three. Or game two? Oh, game three.
Game three.
Oh, sorry. I had the home road flipped there. Yeah, okay. That makes a lot of sense. That's crazy. So what? How did that series was win the first two, lose four in a row? Was that how
that's,
that series
No,
went?
That's 2019. That's the Eastern Conference Final in 2019. This is 2017.
2017, sorry. What's 20? I'm trying to, I don't remember this series like a.
I don't either.
When did Giannis win his MVPs?
Was it 18 and 19? Was it 18 and 19?
So this was like, do you remember this at all? Do you remember Giannis like early in his NBA career? Do you remember like watching him play? They tried to have him be the point guard for like
point
an
guard,
entire
yes.
season.
And
it was
and
like
it was
the
like
craziest
ridiculous.
Freaking thing you could imagine. It was like, you were just, I can't believe this is an idea and it's really cool, but also like, what? Like, I don't understand. Okay. So it was like that year they played Toronto and that was like a Lowry DeRozan, Dwayne Casey, Toronto team, I'm guessing, who probably like won a ton of regular season games. That is so wild.
And that this is like one of the, this is the LeBron team that lost to the Durant Warriors.
Right.
The first Durant Warriors team.
2017. Yes.
So I have,
as we get further removed from it, I have to like pause sometimes before I say yes to these things, even though I'm sure you're right. Just cause like, this is just what happens when you get old. Like it sucks. It's like every year is like, is that the year or is it a different year? There's been too many years.
The Warriors went 16-1 in that postseason. The only loss was to Cleveland in game four, right? 2-2. So Cleveland staved off the sweep and then lost game five at Oracle.
They almost lost game three. Game three was the Durant three over LeBron in transition.
And I still hold, and I think, did I say this on the show somewhat recently, that I think that the 2017 Warriors are the best team, NBA team I've ever seen. And I would take that team to beat any of the Jordan Bulls teams. And my rationale is the Jordan Bulls would have won that series against Cleveland, but they would have lost that game three. Like, the Cavs would have definitely won that game three against Jordan and the Bulls. Bulls would have still won the series, but I think the Cavs would have won that game. Like, the Warriors won that game. I think the 2017 insane. Warriors are the best NBA team of our lifetime.
There's plenty of metrics that say they're at least in that conversation. I'm with you. The cross eras comparison is just so tough with, like, the way offenses run now and how many three pointers teams shoot and stuff. It's just pretty crazy. I mean, look no further than, like, the Pacers tonight and, like, what they do versus, you know, what NBA teams used to do. Not exactly the same. So, anyway, thoughts on the game here, right?
Pacers 6.5. 223.5 the total after we saw game two go way over with Indiana and Milwaukee. Any bet side or total here for this game?
I have two bets that I like for this game, and this is the only series where I feel like I've been betting props and, like, enjoying it and, like, liking it. And just, like, listening to a lot of analysis on the series, and this is going to, it's Middleton's playing, so that helps, I think, a little bit. We've been betting the Halliburton unders, and they've been working.
And adjusted way down though now, right?
17.5. Like,
I see 16.5 at MGM, but yeah.
Juiced over at MGM for 16.5. 17.5 is juiced under, so it gives you an idea of where we're at. And not even just prove this. That sounds like it's insulting to Halliburton. Part of it's, like, the defense that they're, like, they don't want him to be, like, the aggressive focal point of the offense. That's why Siakam scored 900 points. Like, that's why that's happened. There's a part of me that wants to play his under two, honestly, on 26.5. But it's like, if it's the strategy is still to do this, then, like, whatever. I'd rather play Halliburton's under just because he was much more aggressive in game two, but he also, like, still didn't shoot that much. He was, like, aggressive looking to pass, and he had a ton of assists, and he was, like, really into the game. And in game one, he wasn't into the game. And then the other thing is, and I think this was true in game two also, there's this expectation, like, Giannis is out, like, well, man, this is going to be, like, a monster Lillard game. And my answer is, like, not if Indiana doesn't want it to be a monster Lillard game. Like, the whole approach here, I think, is going to be, like, trap and double. Like, make Middleton, like, Middleton's playing at 50%. Like, make him try to score. And normally it's like, well, I wouldn't bet, like, a 17.5 point prop with this idea. Like, the prop is 30.5 on Lillard. And if the entire defensive strategy is get the ball the hell out of his hands, like, every single time, then that's going to go under, like, by force. Like, it's just going to go under a lot of the time because the Indiana is going to be like, yeah, we don't care. Like, we're just great. Anybody else. So I'm going to play the Lillard under and the Halliburton under.
I like the Halliburton under a lot. It has moved down a little bit, but it's hard to disagree with anything you said.
Just, like, make him take a bunch of shots. This is not like Brunson, where they're shooting a billion times and he's still going, like, under some of these numbers. Like, this is not that. Like, the attempts are way down, and he doesn't look like the same player. And even last game when he was aggressive, it was, like, aggressive looking to pass.
Siakam 27.5. Any interest there, one way or another? He's been incredible.
I bet the under in the game because I kind of like the under on everything. But no. It could just be like, this is the bad matchup. Like, this is what it is. I don't know.
And here's how I know that Indiana's probably the right side, because I look at the point spread and I think it's a little too big.
Well, Middleton playing now too. Like, it's just like my theory was going to be like, is there any thought to, like, if he's out, does this thing have no bottom and you wait and just the absolute hold nose bet, like, because with Giannis out, like, a Middleton injury is a huge deal. Like, if Giannis is playing and Middleton's out, who cares? Like, I mean, it's like a small adjustment. But, I mean, just this thing was going to get crazy. And then maybe you bet Milwaukee, like, +9 or something, or, like, some kind of ridiculous, like, shouldn't be their number. That's not this. Now it's, like, hurt Middleton at a fair price. Like, I don't know. Yeah, if I had to bet the side of the game, I think I would bet Indiana, but I don't. I just agree that they should be a big favorite. I just agree with this.
Yeah, I'm gonna pass. Besides for the Halliburton under prop, which I bet with you in game two, and I'll pass the side in total. I'll have bets coming up in other games tonight and this weekend as well. Nick and Ken here. You better, you bet. Brian Baldinger will join us coming up next segment on the show. I want to do a little offensive and defensive rookie of the year before we bid the show adieu, and we can do more on it, more in depth on Monday once we have a fuller picture of what the draft looks like and players that have. I'm sorry.
I said, or in August, we could do more then too.
You know? or in May, or in June.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Depending on when my child is born, in which case, the latest suckers. The offensive rookie of the year market at BetMGM, Caleb Williams is the favorite, plus 200. I don't think anyone's surprised by that. I don't think anyone will be surprised by the second choice in the market, Marvin Harrison, the first skill position player off the board. Marvin Harrison is at 5-1. J.J. McCarthy is the third choice at 6. Jaden Daniels, plus 650. Malik Nabers is at 7. Drake May, 12. Rome Odunze, 14. Xavier Worthy was picked by the Kansas City Chiefs, ran a 4.240 at the Combine, the fastest 40 time ever. And Bo Nix, 17-1. I read you all those prices. Anything stand out to you for Offensive Rookie of the Year?
I mean, not anything where I go like, oh my God, you know, or so like, I can't believe this is how it landed. I mean, like, if you blind asked me what I thought the order would be and about what the pricing would be, I don't know if I'd, like, nail this, but it would be pretty close. Like, Caleb is going to be a really presumptive favorite, and I think if you like Caleb Williams and you think he's going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, I mean, my advice is just, like, you're going to get the exact... It doesn't matter how the preseason goes and how week one and week two, like... He's not going to be like minus 200 in like week two or week three. And if he is, then that's like a huge mistake. And you should be trying to bet other guys probably at that point. Just the way these prices tend to evolve, like even if he wins, you can wait forever. I mean, the only thing I would be thinking about right now, and I don't, this would be, if you ask me in 3 months, I'll probably say the same thing. So it's the only thing I'd be thinking about before the season starts even, is like, is there something 20, 30, 50, that's just not going to be that when we get to the preseason and you see how all the pieces fit together? It's the only thing I would even... And the answer to that could just be no. Like, nope, they got it right. And, like, I guess the answer to that would be Bo Nix, depending on what the price is, I guess. Only because, like, and this is only about a price that won't be this price. Ken does... It's not Ken thinks Bo Nix is going to win. There's nothing... I don't have any idea if he's going to win. But just, like, that's all you should be trying to figure out. Because if it's just... We do this all the time with the words. If it's just you like that player... And I just want to bet him who cares what the price is, then my advice is like, wait till Labor Day and make sure he doesn't get hurt in the preseason. And then still bet him because you don't care because you're just like, I like that player. Timing wise, the only thing you would be betting now is a price that you don't think is going to be there. And I guess like the highest price of the six quarterbacks that's going to play. And I say that because like Penix will be the highest price because he's not going to play. But like Nix can play. And if his price is going to be longer than everybody else, that would strike me as one of the prices that's most likely to move as we get more clarity on the Broncos starting quarterback situation.
Yeah, I agree. Because then my follow-up question was going to be, okay, like if it's not one of the receivers and we didn't see a running back drafted last night, obviously,
right,
like take a quarterback at price, who's it going to be? You'll take Bo Nix because he's the longest price.
Yeah, like if I
it's
bet
like
Bo
similar,
Nix now.
Remember we said Zach Wilson like a couple years ago, right? Because Zach Wilson was like the longest choice in this market. Now he turned out to be bad, but Bo Nix might be good or bad. Just that I think people can understand the point that Ken's making here about price and where we are at this point in the calendar.
Right. I would almost frame it more as like, if you like Caleb, don't bet him now. And if you like Daniels and McCarthy, like don't bet them now. But like, I see a 30 on this, whatever the screen is that we're scraping from for this price for Nix. And it's like, okay, like if you like Bo Nix, this could be the time to bet him. Because it seems like it's only going to go down. Probably would be the right. Either it stays the same because he doesn't start week one, but he plays eventually. Or it goes down if he is named the week one, if he's ever named the
starting starter
for Sean Payton.
He's starting week one. He's starting. I think Bo Nix is starting week one.
I agree. I have to phrase it that way just because like it's not like Sean Payton last night said Bo Nix is starting week one. It's like, although
correct,
he did compare him to Patrick Mahomes, so like whatever, which I guess would mean he's not
like
starting
who's starting week one. Because you imagine Broncos have a great fan base. It's like, we took this guy 12th overall. Well, who's your week one starter? Here's Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson. Yeah.
Ben DiNucci.
Yeah, right. Ben DiNucci. So that's the only thing I have to offer here. Like don't worry if you're, you know, I think we have this going on with baseball right now with just like the FOMO of wanting to get in on guys before the price drops or before like they do other stuff, and baseball and with this market, like things with a really long time horizon on them, it's like, let the prices drop. Who cares? Like, you'll be in there at the end scooping whatever the right thing is week 14, 15, 16. Like, just again, we don't have to go back very far. The stuff that was the best, this was true of baseball too last year, actually, too. the stuff that was the best was like the week 12, 13, 14, like where the prices got out to crazy range on Jalen Carter. And honestly, almost got out to a crazy range on CJ Stroud, and Puka Nacua almost won. Like, that was the crazy thing late in the year. And yes, Stroud won, but like, we all remember what those markets were. That got pretty crazy in the last few weeks, especially after Stroud returned from his concussion against the Jets. So like, you know, don't worry about it. Like, even like, you're not, it's there. Don't have FOMO with these award markets. Like, NBA, they're announcing NBA awards right now. I bet Naz Reid 2 months ago yesterday at 80-1. Like, that was mid-February. Don't worry about missing out on like, well, that guy's going to be 2-1 or he's going to go to even. Let him go out to that price. And either you're not in the market and he runs away with the award and you didn't lose anything, but you also didn't win like a big bet to win a little bit. And then, you know, the best case scenario is this guy gets out to a big favorite, whoever it is, and you wait, and it gets to the end of the year, and things start changing really fast, and you are in there slamming good prices on stuff. That's the best place to be. That's what NBA award season was about this time. That's what baseball is going to be about this year. That's what it's always about. And the more you remember that, the better you'll do.
I love it. Absolutely love it. Baldy's going to join us next segment. I have defensive rookie of the year takes I want to fire off.
Wow.
I don't know if we have time now.
I don't think I've heard a defensive rookie of the year take so far. I guess people like Dallas Turner. I think I've seen two or three people do that.
So I don't, not that like he can't win.
Yeah, I mean, I have no opinion here. So whatever you like, I'll be in on, I guess.
The thing with Turner is that like I envisioned like Grenard, they paid a ton of money. Like Grenard is going to be rushing the passer constantly. And I think Turner, at least to start, is going to be rotating with Van Ginkle, who's also really good, as opposed to like Verse and Latu, who are going to play all the time. Like, we're not coming off the field and going to be expected to play huge roles. And Verse is the longest price. So I like Verse as of right now. Chop Robinson's a little interesting. The pass rusher Miami took only because like Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips are both coming off serious injuries. Robinson's gonna have to start the year, and if he plays well, I don't think he's coming off the field. Brian Baldinger joins us coming up next, breaking down the NFL draft.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQ.
With the 12th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select Bo Nix.
There it is.
Quarterback, Oregon.
6-for-12.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Courtesy of the announcement goes to NFL Network. Bo Nix, the sixth and final quarterback selected in the first round of last night's NFL draft, took 12 picks to make it happen. Absolutely unbelievable. We will give you all our bets coming up for tonight and for the weekend in the final hour, the power hour of the show. And Ken and I will keep breaking down round one of the 2024 NFL draft. But joining us right now to help us break down round one of the 2024 NFL draft is the great Brian Baldinger, Odyssey Sports NFL insider. You can find him on Twitter at BaldyNFL. Baldy, welcome back to the show. It's Nick and Ken. Happy draft week, my friend, to you and yours.
Yeah, all the same. All right back to you, Nick, Ken. It's good to be with you guys. It was a lot of fun last night.
Yeah, well, obviously the surprising part and kind of the fun part, for sure, if you're just like a viewer. I know some people that bet the draft probably had a great time too. I mean, 6 quarterbacks and 12 picks, and we played Bo Nix there. He was the 6th, obviously. Just put the cap on an completely crazy first round. Baldy, I know like a lot of the draft insiders had kind of mocked a lot of these guys to these teams, and maybe it shouldn't have been that surprising, but like, you're watching the first round, you see 6 quarterbacks go in the first 12 picks. How shocked were you that happened?
Not really that shocked, honestly, Ken, because I guess, you know, people were shocked by what Atlanta did at 8, but I kind of hinted at, for the last 2 weeks that Atlanta was very interested in Michael Penix after they saw him work out as a group and they went to visit him privately. They were convinced that maybe there's some buyer's remorse with Kirk. But for the most part, I mean, that they were blown away and they're like, okay, we could compete in the NFC South for the next 10 years. We've seen what it takes. And so I think, you know, once they started going, Denver was, I'm sure they didn't want to take Bo at 12. I'm sure they would have liked to have, you know, done it at the end of the first round and you know, chosen a better player, but they knew the Raiders were sitting right behind them. They were in a quarterback market. So there were seven really quarterback needy teams, and there was only six quarterbacks. So, you know, one was left out. That was the Raiders. And so a lot of these guys got pushed up, and a lot of teams, you know, got the guy that they wanted. I mean, I think, you know, the Patriots wanted Drake, and Washington wanted Jaden, obviously what Chicago did. Minnesota wanted J.J. all along. So a lot of these teams got exactly who they wanted to get, and they didn't have to do very much to get them.
Baldy, is it your understanding that Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, and the Atlanta Falcons regret signing Kirk Cousins to that big contract?
Well, I don't know if it's regret. I mean, they've got a plan in place right now, but I think they were, once they saw and met and really spent time with Michael Penix, his agent, and all that kind of stuff, I think they felt like, you know what, we could have just been built. We could have built around this guy. You know,
isn't that a major organizational failure? Isn't that like a major failure? Isn't that, and like Penix might be great and Cousins might be great. Isn't that such an indictment on like the way they run their team? Like that's the process and how this went down.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was free agency goes first. And so, you know, free agency, you got to, you know, obviously it was a position need. Raheem Morris said, I wouldn't be here if they had better quarterback play from a year ago. And then the draft process, you're in the middle of the draft process. You're not sure exactly what Michael Penix is until you spend time with him, get to know him, really study him a lot harder. They had 5 weeks or 6 weeks after they signed Kirk Cousins to really study it. I think things changed probably a great deal. Now, I'm sure Kirk Cousins isn't happy. You know, everything you read, he's not thrilled about it. And the clock is ticking. The clock's ticking on him. So, you know, I don't think Kirk's ever been afraid of competition. He was drafted with RG3 that year when he first came into this business and ended up beating him out for the most part. You know, he's had a great career. But right now he's got the future right behind him. And so you probably get the very best out of Kirk right now. I don't think it's an organizational failure if Penix sits this year and Michael Penix next year becomes a starter or competes for the starting position. I kind of think that's how it's going to go.
That's great. This strikes me as one of those like kind of classic stories where as you get like 3-5 years removed from it and you start to get like more and more about what happened, you'll be like, oh man, like that's great. Like the details start to emerge about exactly how this process went. Just really, really interesting. So Baldy, that was obviously one really big surprise. Although maybe not to your point and to your credit, you said maybe Atlanta liked Michael Penix Jr. Like I'm just at home on the couch, I'm watching, I'm going, I can't believe they drafted Michael Penix Jr. And I can believe, Baldy, that the Broncos drafted Bo Nix. And you know, Adam Schefter has like the anecdote about like Sean Payton passed on, or you know, got scooped for Patrick Mahomes, so now he wants to go get his quarterback. It obviously that colors in what's going on here a little bit, but the Broncos took Bo Nix with the 12th overall pick. That's pretty surprising, too, just in terms of where they took him. What do you make of that fit, that pick, obviously after the Broncos trade for Zach Wilson a few days ago?
Well, I mean, Sean Payton, we believe that Sean Payton knows what he's doing when it comes to quarterbacks. He's been around a lot of them. He's coached one of the greatest to ever play it. So you kind of think he knows what he's looking for and what that looks like. And, I mean, if you take Bo Nix at 31, or if you take him at 12, does it make that big of a difference? You want him. You want him on your team. You want to develop him. I mean, you could say that he was overdrafted, and we'll know pretty soon if he is or not. But, I mean, Sean Payton's putting his reputation on the line with this. You kind of trust his ability to really scout a quarterback and what he's supposed to look like. So for this, for the time being, you just got to trust that Sean Payton knows what he's doing right here. I mean, they unloaded Russell Wilson after a year, heavy contract hit, all that kind of stuff that the organization has to suck up right now. I mean, you're putting an awful lot of faith in Sean Payton right now.
You better you bet with Nick and Ken here on a Friday. We're talking the NFL draft. Odyssey Sports NFL insider Brian Baldinger is our guest, host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, The Best Football Show, featuring daily breakdowns of the most important storylines around the league. Baldy, the Chicago Bears last night take Caleb Williams first overall, then they take Roma Dunze. The Minnesota Vikings take their quarterback of the future, J.J. McCarthy, and also get Alabama pass rusher Dallas Turner. The betting market thinks that Chicago is a pretty good amount better than the Minnesota Vikings. How do you rate the distance between the two teams, if there is one at all, between Chicago and Minnesota?
Well, I think Chicago might have a better all-around roster right now. I don't know by how much. I mean, you just look at how they played Detroit, you know, in the second half of the season. They beat them once. They should have beat them twice. I mean, that's a team that everybody feels like can compete at the highest level in the NFC right now. And Chicago went toe-to-toe with them with, you know, whoever was by Tyson Bagent was playing one time. And, you know, Justin Fields was playing another time. And they just about took them down twice. So I think Chicago probably might be a little bit better right now. But I don't know. I mean, if they get a good quarterback play from Sam Darnold or J.J. McCarthy, that's what it's going to come down to. Is, you know, how's your quarterback play in these divisional games? What kind of, you know, is he turning the ball over? Is he scoring? Is he, you know, driving the team down when they need it in the fourth quarter? I mean, all those kind of things that we evaluate quarterbacks on, that's probably how it's going to be evaluated. I think if, you know, Caleb and JJ are going at it, or Caleb and, I don't know, Sam Darnold are going at it, I mean, it's going to be to come down to the quarterback play, I believe. But I think Chicago, to answer your question, Nick, is just maybe a smidge better right now. Although, you know, Minnesota has added a lot of really good pieces in this offseason. So they're going to be very competitive if they get good quarterback play.
And Bears win total this year in the market right now, at least 8.5 juiced over, and Vikings win total 6.5. So like it is crazy to think about like how big of a difference the betting market feels between those two teams. And maybe Caleb Williams is that good. Bully, the quarterback that was picked right after Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, obviously won the Heisman Trophy at LSU last year, second overall pick for the Washington Commanders. They're not projected to have a great season this year either. First year for Dan Quinn as the head coach, 6.5 their win total also. Same as Minnesota, same as a lot of the other projected not very good teams this year in the NFL. What do you make of that fit? Commanders take Jaden Daniels second, and any reason to believe they could be an overachieving team this year?
No, I think there's a lot of reason to believe that they can be overachieving, whatever that means right now. I mean, I think Jaden Daniels, I mean, first of all, it's his job. And so he improved a great deal from Arizona State to his 2 years in LSU. And he's shown that when you put elite players around him, LSU, who was, you know, kind of bottom feeding before he got there, and Brian Kelly got there, they went and won 10 games each year. I think he's going to be a difficult guy to defend. I think the offense should be much improved, and that was a sore point last year, the way that they turned it over. So I think it's a build. It's a rebuild, but I think this thing could come along pretty fast. I think Dan Quinn's learned a lot from his time being the head coach in Atlanta. He knows what a good offense looked like when he was there with Kyle Shanahan. You know, they had the MVP of the league in Matt Ryan. So he knows how important the quarterback position is. And I think Jaden Daniels is going to be a good pro. And I don't think it's going to take long for him to make an impact in this business.
Baldy, my final question. You know I'm a big Giants fan. I was, like, very upset whether they tried to or not, like, tried to trade for Drake May. Didn't end up with a quarterback in last night's draft. And, like, I like Malik Nabers. I think Malik, great prospect. I think he's the first wide receiver off the board in, what, like, 9 out of 10 drafts. You just happen to have Marvin Harrison in this one. I look at this team and I see a team that can't win if Daniel Jones is the quarterback, even with Malik Nabers. The Giants are not expected to be good in the betting market. The win total is 6.5. Any reason, Baldy, to be optimistic in the New York football Giants heading into the season? Like, are you optimistic in the Giants heading into the season here? Have about 45 seconds for the answer.
I mean, look, if you get the year that Daniel Jones had 2 years ago, when he ran for over 800 yards, and he started every game, and they won a playoff game in Minnesota, if you get that kind of year, and he played very good in the second half of the season, if you get that kind of year out of Daniel Jones, then they could be competitive, because defensively they should be pretty good. You know, it's hard to win games, as they discovered last year, where you can't score points. I mean, they were tied for the league lead in takeaways last year, right at the top of the leaderboard. They were getting extra at-bats back to the offense. They couldn't do anything with it. If they get that kind of year from Daniel Jones, then they can be competitive. I don't know how many people think, and you don't sound like you're one of them, Nick, that feel like they can get that kind of a year coming off a major knee surgery. I don't think many people think you can get that kind of a year out of Daniel Jones again.
And I guess, like, the question then becomes, if the Giants go like 5-12, 6-11, do Joe Shane and Brian Daboll get another year, like get to pick a quarterback? I don't know what the answer to that question is. Baldy, we love having you on the show. We appreciate it. Safe travels. Enjoy the rest of the draft. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, guys. Take care, man. Enjoy.
Odyssey Sports NFL insider Brian Baldinger joining us on You Better You Bet. Final hour, power hour coming up next. If you're watching on Stadium, head on over to Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL. We will roll through all our bets for tonight and the weekend in sports.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.